Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harga coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You've tuned me in, by the way, of WION, I-1430 AM at 92.7 FM and also over in the Lower Ada area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGRM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Also, some of you are listening by the way of my website. My website is simply Pastor Ken Harger. And then you go to Messages from the Lighthouse, bring your mouse up over that, and those current media will show up. And then you click on current media, and the top message is a message for today. I need to say thank you to those that are my sponsors that take care of the financial cost of the broadcasting time. A big thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence. That was his nickname. And she lives in Orleans, Michigan, and that's pretty special. To Bill and Judy Hammond, a big thank you to you. And they live in Belding. And also to Shiloh Community Church. I want to give a special invitation for you to attend the services there. That's where I pastored for 50 years, and I still attend what services I can. Saturday evening, it begins at 6:30, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and then there's a contemporary service at 10:45. And then we have a campus over in Greenville. It's at the old Calvary Baptist Church. That's a corner of Grove and LeRae Street, and that service starts at 11 o'clock. I need to say thank you to Kayanne Kingsinger for picking out my music this morning. She's been doing that for a lot of years, and we're working on the month of March now. And so we'll be putting that together pretty soon. I'm just glad to be able to share with you this morning and bring the message that God has laid upon my heart. Maximize your life with God to become all that God wants you to be. Maximize your life. And we're going to talk about the idea of maximizing your life. As we do so, we need to realize that God's got a message for us, and this message is something that he wants us to not only listen to, but he wants us to put it to work in our lives. And you know, one of the reasons as I say that is because as we get through the day, we will understand that Jesus really wants to be our friend. And, you know, there's a song that says, what a friend we have in Jesus. And, you know, during this COVID thing and during what I've been going through in my own life, I got to tell you, it's so good to know that we got a friend like Jesus and that he really cares about each one of us. This is a new version of a song talking about Jesus' friendship. And I'm just glad to be able to share it with you this morning. Thanks to Kayanne Kingsinger for having this music for us this morning. So we'll just listen in and ask the Lord to kind of prepare our hearts and minds for the message this morning.
Jesus,
here we go.
What a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I
Thought he'll be with us to the very end. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we need to know that for our individual life. As we come to him, we come to him, and he says he wants to be our friend. I got to tell you, folks, that's something that is very special. That the God of the universe, the one that loved us so much that he gave his life for us, he went through all that he did in order to be our friend. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments, but I want to remember you, the listening audience, in prayer, that God's special blessing would be upon you and that he would minister to you in a very special way. So let's just bow together for a moment. Dear Father, once again, we come to you, and we come in the name of our friend, the Lord Jesus. What a privilege we have to call him our friend. What a privilege we have to know that he calls us his friend. And of all the friends that we may have in our life, there's nobody like Jesus. He loves us. He cares for us. He watches over us. And Father, I want to pray for the listening audience this morning that you would minister to each one of them in a very special way through your friendship to them. I pray, Father, that they may know that you really care about them. I pray that they might know that you really care about what they're going through. And you as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, you're reaching out to each and every one of us in a special way. So I pray for the listening audience. I especially want to pray for those that might have some unspoken request. And right now, Father, they would focus on what that unspoken request is. And Father, I'm coming to you and ask, would you meet the need of that unspoken request according to your will? And we'll thank you and praise you for that. Now, thanks again for the listening audience, and I pray now that you would come and you would honor your word. I pray in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, as I mentioned a few moments ago, progress in my life of getting stronger. I've never been this weak before in my life. And we've been having about a nurse and three different types of therapy. one of the therapies for my voice to get me to breathe just a little differently. And, you know, I think that's helping a little bit. We raised the bed up to kind of get the head of the bed up to about 3.5 inches to help with this GERD problem that I have. And, I mean, I believe that is helping. So we're making a little progress. And so I guess my place right now is to be thankful for progress we have made. You know, when I think about maximizing our life, to become all that God wants us to become. I'm thinking about when God sees us, when the Lord Jesus sees us, he sees our potential. And he knows what that potential is possible of doing. But there's a little statement I came across, and I really like this statement. And I kind of want to use it as a platform for the message this week. And the statement says that outlook determines the outcome. Now think about that for a moment. Outlook, how you look on things, determines the outcome. If you've got a positive outlook or you got a negative outlook, it determines the outcome of whatever it is you're going through. And the second part of that statement goes like this. Attitude determines action. Attitude determines action. If you have the attitude that you can get better, it's going to have you do the action that you want to do. You know, one of the things these therapy people that have been coming to my house to help me get stronger, they got all kinds of exercises. I've been doing more exercises than I've ever done in my life. And you know, they say for my age, I'm soon to be 86. They say for my age, I'm really quite strong and really able to do many different things that others my age can't do. And I appreciate that. But it is, you know, this attitude determines action. I do believe that therapy is a way to help, to gain strength, because we all have muscles we haven't used. We know that. Just do something you haven't done for quite a while and you feel it the next day. But, you know, I like the idea of thinking about outlook and how we look upon the situation we're in. It has a lot to do with what the outcome's going to be. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, God tells us, we know that the one who brought the Lord Jesus back to life will bring us back to life through Jesus. He's saying, you know what? You know that you have some hope. You're connected with this one, the Lord Jesus. He said he wanted to be your friend when you placed your faith in him. He wants you to be his friend. And you know, it's a reminder that what God the Father did for his son, the Lord Jesus, in bringing him back to life, God the Father can do for us. What the Lord Jesus did for himself, because I love it when the Lord Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it back up again. And so we realize that he was a part of the resurrection. He will present us to God together with you. All this is for your sake, so that as God's kindness overflows in the lives of many people, God's kindness in your life, God's kindness in my life, he says, will produce even more thanksgiving to the glory of God. You know, a while back for Thanksgiving, we shared the message. It's not only Thanksgiving, it's Thanksgiving. And we have to say thank you many times because that's going to change our attitude. This is why we're not discouraged, Paul said. Though outward we are wearing out. Isn't that the truth? Inward we are being renewed day by day. And I can sense that the inward part of me is being renewed a little bit. It's not as fast as I want it to, but, you know, when they said the things that I had wrong with me, it's going to take some time to do that. Only problem is I've always been down a day or so and then right back up and going again. And we realize that this time it's taken a little longer. Listen to what he says, and this is our outlook. Our suffering is light and temporary, as it produces for us an eternal glory that is greater than anything we can imagine. We don't look for things that can be seen, but we look for things that cannot be seen. Things that can be seen are only temporary, but things that can't be seen last forever. God's reminding us how we look upon the situation of our life is going to determine the outcome of that situation. The second part of that statement is attitude determines action. We go to Jesus and see the attitude of the mind of the Lord Jesus. And I like one of the translations of Philippians chapter 2 when it says, the attitude you should have is the one of Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by that force he would try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, on his own free will, he gave up all that he had and he took the nature of a servant when he became a human being. He became human like you and I. He appeared as a human being, but he also was humbled himself and he walked the path of obedience all the way to death, even to the death of the most terrible death it could be, and that on the cross. And Jesus was willing to go through all of that. You know, I want to maximize my life. I want to make it count the most that it possibly can. And you know, I think there's a little verse that gives us a little promise. It's in the book of Colossians. It says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For your life is hidden with Christ in God. He says, set your mind on things above. That's what I want you to think about. I want you to think beyond this life. I want you to think about that God, when he saw you, he saw your potential. He saw that you could become all that you could become. You know, if you maximize, you want to maximize your life, I believe you got to maximize your potential. And God knows what that is. Your purpose on earth is to develop your God-given gifts, your talents, your abilities, the best you can to use them to impact the world that you're living in for Christ. When I think about the attitude, God gives us some things in the book of Colossians that we just mentioned a few moments ago that I think that he tells us are beneficial for our life. You know, he talks about putting some things on. This is like just getting dressed. When you get up in the morning and you go to get dressed, he said you're going to put on those things. And, you know, sometimes we want to put on the same old things that we've always put on because we feel comfortable. But God's telling us some things he wants us to put on because he's chosen us. We want to be pleasing to God. And here's some things he said we could put on. Holy and beloved compassion. Put on compassion. Put on kindness. Put on humility, put on meekness, put on patience. And then he says something that's really necessary in this day and age. Bear with one another. You know what he's really saying? Put up with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. And that's the way God teaches this all the way through his word when he talks about forgiveness and meekness, humility, and all these different things. He said, that's the way God dealt with you. Now you deal with others in the same kind of way. And above all, this is what he says, put on love. Love is what binds everything together in a perfect harmony. So put on love. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be ye thankful. Can I say that again? And be ye thankful. Got a lot to give thanks for. And we know that is true. When I think back on my life, when I was about 18 years old, started going to church a little bit before that, all of a sudden the messages I was hearing, I realized that I was a sinner. And I realized that Jesus died for my sins. And there came a time in my life when I went home after church one day and knelt down by my bed, and I prayed and asked God to forgive me. I asked Jesus to come into my life. And you know, folks, I didn't realize it at that moment. But at that time, God maximized my life. At that time, God maximized my potential of life. In the verses for today, God is telling us, put on things in our life that will help us to realize just how much God loves us. Put on something like compassion. Put on something like kindness. Put on something like humility and meekness and patience. And learn how to bear with one another. And learn how to say thank you. God wants that for us. He says that's a big part of your life. Then I love the way God said it. He said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. The peace that sets our heart at ease. The peace that kind of quiets our mind. The peace that enables us to rest in God's faithfulness, in God's power, in God's love and grace. You know, God wants us to realize there's a lot of conflict in our world today. There's a lot of conflict because of this COVID thing. And the shots are not being, you know, we haven't got our shot yet. The shots haven't come in as fast as they want them to and so on. But you know what God is saying? For that idea of let the peace of God rule in your heart, he's really saying, let the peace of God be your umpire. Let him be the umpire of your life, God's peace, to give you that sense of assurance and direction that you need. I like to remind myself, as the clay is in the potter's hand, and God one day said, he's the potter, you and I are the clay. So are you and I in God's hands. In God's hands, he sees our potential. And he wants us to accomplish that in our individual life as we walk with him. And that's something that is very special. Maximize your life. Make it as big as possible. Maximize your potential. Knowing that God's got a mind for you. And you know, when we think about this, we see that God tells us that he wants to allow the word of God to dwell richly in our life. Listen to what it says in Colossians 3:16. This is how you can maximize your life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He says, just have all kinds of spiritual ways that you talk to yourself or let others talk to you. To add this thought, I love the thought that God said, let the word of Christ dwell in you. The word dwell means it lives in your life. It becomes a part of your life. I remember when the Lord Jesus was tempted shortly after he was baptized. He went into the wilderness and there Satan tempted him. He came and said, turn these here stones into bread if you're the Son of God. And I love Jesus' answer, and it's the answer for us today. Man cannot live on bread alone. You just can't keep your body alive. But you need to live on the Word of God. You need to allow the Word of God to be a part of your life, because that's something that can add maximizing to your life is when you're beginning to think the way God thinks. You see, I've always thought of the Bible as the mind of God, the things that He says. And He's the one that loves words like compassion, kindness. He loves those kinds of things. He's the one that talks more about love than anybody else talks about love. He's saying, let that be a part of the food that nourishes your spiritual life. You can't just be alive physically. He said, in order for your life to count, you got to be alive spiritually as well. And God has equipped us with the Word of God to be able to do all these things that He wants us to do. A person can't just live by bread alone. He needs the nourishment of God's Word. I love the way that God said this way back in the book of Isaiah. You know, I always loved nature. I'm so glad this winter that it hasn't been a real hard winter. The lake is frozen over. I haven't seen any cars out on the lake yet, and I hope there won't be for a while. But they're talking about being pretty cold next week, but we do have snowmobiles on the lake, and we do have some ice fishermen. I'm not out there to know how deep the ice is. But one day when God was going to talk to the nation of Israel, He uses nature to explain how God refreshes the earth, how God feeds the earth. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth a sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. God said, just like the rain and snow refresh the earth, haven't you been out there in the summertime when there's just been a nice fresh rain after a dry time and just want to draw in that nice fresh feeling? God just watered His earth. You know, He wants us to realize that's the way it is with God's Word. When you get God's Word in your heart, when you study God's Word, when you think about God's Word, and when you think about maybe the way you would say it, the way God says it, when you think about the mind of God, He said, that will refresh your life. That will give you something for the emptiness that you sense. And God wants us to realize that that's something that can nourish our life in a very special way. Matter of fact, He also tells us, guard your heart and mind by filling it with God's Word. The more of God's Word you can get into your heart and life, you know what it's going to do? It's going to maximize your life. It's going to maximize it to the point that you realize that God is really good to you. And you realize you got a lot to be thankful for. You know, one of the things that I believe is so important to get a hold of this morning is that when God looked upon you, He saw what you could be. You know, people look at us and I can remember being raised in a family of nine. Just like the idea of what would those Hargers ever amount to? And you know, when you think about that, and you think about the fact that when Christ comes into your life, He automatically maximizes your life. And then when we add the mind of God to our mind of thinking, and we add the attitude of the Lord Jesus, all of a sudden our life is maximized. I got a song I want us to listen to, and then I'll take a little break and give my voice a chance to kind of catch up with me again. And this song is saying, He saw what I could be. And that's what God does for each one of us. He sees what we can be. He sees our potential. And we want to do that. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
A loser without direction, but I drifted aimlessly on the backside of a place gone nowhere, forgotten by humanity. So when they talked about potential, they did not refer to me, 'cause everyone could clearly see what I was, I'd always be. Well, but he saw not what I was, he saw what I could be. Yeah. When he reached his hand to where I was, he made a change. You see, oh, from the life that I lived just yesterday, before the Lord found me. Oh, but he saw not what I was, he saw what I could be. Yeah. When he reached his hand to where I was, he made a change.
Aren't you glad about that, folks? He saw what I was, but more than that, he saw what I could be. He saw my potential. God sees your potential. He sees you in becoming a person that you may have never thought you could possibly be. He maximizes your life. He maximizes your potential. And one of the ways that he does that is not only adding the Word of God, which we talked about just a few moments ago, because we begin operating with the mind of Christ, the mind of God. But also he gives us an idea that he wants us to do things for him. God doesn't need anything. God can take care of himself. I'm glad I learned a long time ago that I don't have to protect God. God can protect himself. But you know what? He knows it will maximize your life if he can get you to help other people. This goes in hand with God. Jesus wanted to come down here to help the people that he was a part of in his life. He healed so many people. He gave them teaching that they could hang on to. He gave them hope. He gave him the kindness of God. And then he wants to do the same for you and I. But then all of his teaching was, he wanted us to reach out and be a help to somebody else. I like it this way. When you help somebody else, it actually helps you. It just makes you feel good that you were able to assist somebody. When you can see that happen, that's why he says in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or in deed, the stuff you say, the actions of your life, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And here is that idea again. Give thanks to God, the Father, through him. What he's telling us is we need to realize that we can do some things for God. We can do it in the words we say. That's why I love doing my devotion daily. Sometimes people that I needed that today. Sometimes they say that the message, that message I needed this morning. That's pretty special. Give thanks to God. Notice God said, this brings glory to him. Whatever you do in word or deed, I believe God's telling us the attitude of how we do it is going to make a lot of difference. If we do it with a heart full of gratitude and thanksgiving, and we recognize the goodness of God in letting us help. Not that God needs our help, but he says it'll help you. This will maximize your life beyond your potential as you reach out to others, because that's what God has done for you. This is what Jesus has done for us. He was born, he lived, he died, he rose again from the grave, he returned to the Father. And he did all that to please the Father. And he did all that to see a smile on his Father's face. And he did all of that as a work that the Father wanted him to do. I love the way God shows his love to us. Listen to what he says. When we were still without strength, during these last 3 weeks, I know what it is like to be without strength. I'm not one to have a lot of people do for me, but I've had to have people do for me that which I could not do myself. And we realize, little by little, we can gain that strength. But you and I, without strength, we couldn't do anything to help ourselves as far as forgiveness of sin is concerned. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But listen to what God did. God demonstrated his own love towards us. In other words, God shows us how much he loves us. In that while we were still sinners, I love one of the statements about Jesus, which we'll be talking about in just a few minutes. On friendship. The religious people said of Jesus many different times, he's a friend with sinners. He's a friend with sinners. He's a friend with sinners. I'm so glad Jesus was a friend with sinners. He died for us. Much more than having now being justified by his blood, he saved us through the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more have we been reconciled as we can be saved by his life? As now he lives life through you and I. That's going to add to your life, he's saying. Through this one, the Lord Jesus, we have received reconciliation. You know what that means? It's a reminder that when we trusted in Jesus as our Savior, we had a fresh start. No matter what you've done in the past, when you ask for forgiveness, God gives you forgiveness. He removes your sin as far as the east is from the west. He washes you, though you would be red as crimson, you'll be white as snow. and I look out my dining room window and there's snow everywhere. That's something pretty special, folks. When we were enemies to him, he reconciled us at that point of time. And God wants you to have this morning a fresh start with him. He wants you to know that he sees your potential. He sees what you can become as an individual. And he wants to go do these things in your life in such a way that you will be able to recognize how God has been so good to you. But you know, as we think about that, we think about the Lord Jesus as a friend. That's what I want to kind of wrap up our time together with, is the idea that Jesus wants to be our friend. One of my favorite songs is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And you'd turn off the radio if I was to start singing. So I'm not going to start singing. But my favorite verse of that song is verse number 2. And especially has been that verse's idea of what I've been going through these last 3 weeks. In an experience that I've never experienced before in my life. And then when you're experiencing it and it doesn't seem to be making much progress. Heavy trials and temptation. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what we have to do, folks. I think that's so special that God cares about us. One of my favorite verses says you can come to God's throne with assurance that he'll hear and answer and he'll know what you're going through. Because in every way he was tried and tested as you were and as you are. And he knows how to be a help to you during that time. In the book of John, chapter 15, God's talking about a lot of things about the connection between the vine and the branch. And he's using that to remind us that the connection he wants us to have. But I love it there was he's with the disciples one day. In that John 15, he said this, "Love each other as I have loved you." Have you got that principle together in your life yet? God wants us to do for others what he has done for us. God said, if you have received mercy, then be merciful to other people. God said, if you have received forgiveness, then forgive the others that have hurt you. And here God is saying, I've loved you, disciples. Now I want you to love one another. Just like I loved you. This is what I am commanding you to do. God says that's a part of how you will grow. The greatest love you can show is to give your life for your friends. And then Jesus said, can you imagine being sitting there one of his disciples, and Jesus say, you are my friends. If you obey my word, you are my friends. I don't call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. God is telling us he wants us to have this friendship with him. And he demonstrates that by saying, I love you. I want you to love one another. I could call you servants. God could call me a servant. But he says, I want to call you friends. He wants a friendship with us. I want to call you friends. Because friends know what another friend is asking. I love the idea that he says, I believe the basis for friendship is love. And the love the way Jesus loved is what we should do for each other. But I also like the idea of being loved by Jesus. You can love and receive God's love. You can give God's love. And I love the basis for friendship. Friendship is that you can give, he wants to give you more information. He wants you to see that relationship that he wants to have with you is going to maximize your life. No, I don't believe in bringing God down to our level. I believe we need to have God and his son, the Lord Jesus, lifted high. He's given the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe that's the way it should be. But in our relationship with Jesus, he said, I want you to know. I want you to be my friend. I want you to know that you can be my friend because I want to be your friend. And we can be friends with one another. And as friends, I'll give you some secrets. Boy, I remember one time when God was visiting with Abraham. That's way back in the Old Testament. He was telling him that his wife Sarah, that God was saying, would have a baby. But then he was on their way to check out Sodom and Gomorrah. And then they said, should we not tell Abraham? He's a friend with God. Should we not tell our friend Abraham what we're doing? Because Abraham knew that Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And I thought that was so beautiful that way back there in the Old Testament, God was saying there was a man that was his friend. God's looking for us to be friends with him, and he wants that to be true. Do you know what? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, he wants to be your friend today. He wants you to think of him as your friend. And he's let you know some things. And the best thing that he's letting you know this morning is that Jesus sees your potential. He sees what you can become. And he finds that to be something that is very special in what you can become. Now I have to ask a question. Do you want to be a friend with Jesus? You know, in this thing called Facebook, you can friend people. You can also defriend them. I'm on Facebook as a public figure. And I don't have a list of people. My wife, I think she's got a list of about 150 people that are friends with her on Facebook. But I often get requests to be a friend, and I don't have friends on Facebook. The idea of being a public figure on Facebook is to share, and people can share back with you, and I can make statements to the people who share back with me. But I don't have the friends, and I would never want to defriend anybody. And that's something for us to really realize. Will you accept Jesus as your friend? Or will you ignore him and reject him? Which will you do? I love it when Jesus said in the book of Revelations, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any person opens the door, I will come in to him and he will have fellowship with one another. But you know what? The lock to the door is on the inside. You have to open that door in order for the Lord Jesus to be able to come in to your life. And he wants to. And just by him coming into your life, when you ask for forgiveness, he maximizes your life by all the things that is added to your life spiritually because of the Lord Jesus and who he is and what he wants to do within your life. I want to close with something that happened when Jesus first began his ministry. He was walking by the seaside one day, and he sees some fishermen. There was a total of Peter and John, James. The first ones he saw, he said, "Follow me." And he said this, "I will make you to become a fisher of men. Follow me. You're a fisher of fish. And I'll make you to become a fisher of men." That's what God's able to do, to make us become a fisher of men. And that was Peter and John. And he surely did work it out in their life. They became fishers of men. And that's something that God wanted to do. He went a little further and he found some others. They were mending their nets. They were with their father. And he said, "Follow me." And in both cases, immediately, they followed the Lord Jesus. They accepted him as their friend. So I want to kind of close with a song that says, "The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows." But I want us to realize that one of the things that God wants us to do is come to this relationship with him as a friend, knowing that he has his friendship for each and every one of us. And you know what? I can say from my heart to your heart today, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, the more love he bestows. God bless you.
Since I started for the kingdom, and since my life he controls, and since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more my heart overflows, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying, and plenteous grace he bestows. And every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve him, the sweeter each and every